Fortnite, the famous Fortnites. I got to do, I think I did at least three while I was there. Oh my God, work? Like, you can't even imagine how much work it was to pull that together for the 2 weeks, you know? I mean, literally, it was like putting on the state fair in a store, you know, kind of a thing. But where else can you go work and do those things? There was nowhere else to go. So when people said, why don't you want to leave? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Why do I want to leave? There's nobody doing anything near this. So.
Yeah, I honestly feel like that's why I've been doing so much research on Neiman Marcus, is because there are so many delightful components to its history. I am particularly interested in Fortnite. I've been researching a lot of the earlier ones. So I was kind of delighted to read that you played, it seems like a pretty important role in the ones in the 90s. So could you describe what those Fortnites were like and like some of the work that went into them? Maybe some of the things that you were particularly proud of?
Well, I did. So the Fortnites, the original Fortnites that Stanley Marcus started, ended, I think, in 1987. And, you know, the Alvin Colt, who was a big part of the Fortnite, you know, there, it said his works are all at SMU.
Oh, yes. I've started looking for them. I included a few in an exhibition that I curated recently.
Okay, yeah. Good. So you know that. Yeah, okay. So anyway, I think 87 was the last one. I think Australia, maybe something like that. So then when we started them back up again, what was it in the 90s? You probably know better than me.
Yeah, I haven't pinned it down. Was the Texas one the first? I don't know.
Texas? It was called Texas the Crossroads. Mm-hmm. So we did that one. And then we did two Festa di Italia. There were two Italian ones that we did. And then the 100th anniversary, even though it was an anniversary celebration, actually acted like a fortnight. It was called the Next 100 Years. That was really kind of cool. The premise was not necessarily looking back. It was about looking forward into the future. So that one was actually really cool. And then there was another small one called Happen Such or something like that. It was our version of the flower show, the Macy's, but it wasn't great. It was really watered down. Okay, what was it like? An incredible amount of work. But you're sitting down with every discipline in the company. Every discipline in the company has to play in this. So my part was, and this was so brutal, I would have to go to Italy, you know, for weeks at a time and endure amazing dinners and sipping wine. I mean, it was horrible. Walking around Florence, getting to see things that people couldn't see, getting private tours into museums that the general public couldn't get into. You know, going down into personal wine cellars like you see in movies. This is a cute story. So we were working, they were puppeteers, and which is very, very famous and popular in Italy. There was a theater called they're called Pupi, P-U-P-I. But the one puppeteer, we're at his house. I mean, this is the level you get to. You leave the office or wherever, and next thing you know, it's you're sitting in this person's home, they're entertaining you at home, who you just met, by the way. I mean, you just met them. And so then next thing you know, it's you're down in their personal wine cellar, which is, again, out of a movie. And I'll never forget this story. This gentleman I was talking to, he said, you said you were married. And I said, I'm married. And he said, well, what year did you get married? And so I told him the year, and, you know, there's this wall of wine bottles everywhere, and they're covered in dust, just like you see in the movies, right? And he's looking, blows the bottle off, pulls it out, and he goes, this wine was bottled the year you got married. Congratulations. And he gives me this bottle of wine, right? But back then, you could take it on the plane. So anyway, but things like that, I mean, where would you ever have experiences like that, right? It is like, are you kidding me? But then, you know, that was with everything. So what we would do is that we would visually build this experience. It was around merchandise. So we'd go to Missoni and, you know, we would challenge them. We would come up with crazy things. Fornacetti, you know, the graphic designer Fornacetti. Well, Barbio, something like that, Fornacetti. There was still, he must have been the grandson. So we went to him, and again, so we go into the atelier and we see where they're hand painting this stuff. You could never get in there, right? And then, but then we go to Vespa. So what am I going to do with Fornacetti that's going to be different? Oh, let's go get a Vespa and let's create Fornacetti Vespas. So there's three Fornacetti Vespas that are gorgeous. And so that's what we would do. That was my job. My job was to look at all these different things and then figure out how to put stuff together that was unique and unusual, right? So that it wasn't the expected. So that's what you do. So then, but you're, you know, it's like I call it a recipe. It's like cooking. You know, certain ingredients work, and then all of a sudden you find you don't have this one ingredient, so you have to make it up. Things like that. Here was the one catastrophe, though. So again, you can only imagine this is a lot of work, and you know, communicating with people in Italy, some of them spoke English, some of them didn't. So we always had interpreters and stuff like that. And we were working on the, you know, we had been working on this one Italian fortnight for like 6 months, you know, and it was just this 1 week I started getting, they weren't called emails even then. There was another form of communication, but anyway, I started getting this correspondence and messages like, I'm sorry, but we can't, you know, we can't do this. And all of a sudden I started having people not refuse, but just say, I can't do it. Well, we were already 6 months into the project. You know, this was not an option. And so all week long, all of a sudden everybody's like canceling. It's like, you know, you can't, you know, it's like when you book a band, they can't cancel. So anyway, I literally jumped on a plane, I went over there, and I had to hand hold everyone's hand and sit down and calm everybody down, talk them off the cliff, and everybody finally came through. But things like that, you know, like I became a counselor. I mean, I had nothing to do with creativity. I'm like talking people off a cliff, but you don't understand, you know, you need to do this kind of a thing. So things like that. But again, where else could you have those experiences to do those sort of things? The fortnights push you to the limit. I will tell you that right now. To the limit. I mean, I remember working 67 days straight, and it wasn't for a pandemic. It was for just coordinating the fortnight, you know, because there was that much work to do. The coordination alone was huge. But you could never get anywhere else but Neiman Marcus.